as we mentioned, the Jews were facing now the Plishtim on the battlefield, and they had brought with them the Aron to the battlefield, and the Plishtim were very much afraid of the Aron, because they'd never seen anything like this before. And then in Pasuk Tes, the Navi tells us that they gave themselves a pep talk, the Plishtim. He's chasku, strengthen yourselves, or you are noshim Plishtim, and be true Philistine men. Pent Abdu Ibrim, lest you come out to worship the Israelites, Kasher Abdu Lachem, like they worshipped you once upon a time. Rather, Ve'isim La'anoshim, be men, Ve'ilchamtem, and wage war. It's a beautiful Malbim here. The Malbim says, it's the bottom of page 4, He's Chazku, be strong. Hine, Mimashikosav Elokim Ha'ele, these gods. Elohim Elohim, the Lush and Rabbim, these are the gods in plural. Before it's clear, Kichotchu, that they thought, Shalohei Yaakov, that the God of Yaakov, Eina Siva Rishoina, is not the first cause in creating the world. Sheduas, it's known, Shalomos Akadmonim, that the ancient nations, Kula Michlitu, all decided, Shemina Nina Bichlau, that it's impossible altogether, Shasubishan, the first cause, Yelo Eza Keshim Shokhne Bate Choymer, should have some connection to those who dwell in the nether regions. In other words, the first cause God is not doesn't concern himself with this world. So they held the God of Israel was a under God, like their gods, like they had many gods. They happen to think that our God was a collection of many great forces, which are probably greater than the power of their own God, which they worshipped. Since the gods which they're dealing with, even the God of Israel, is not a perfect over God, but one of the under gods, so it's possible that sometimes strong nations can overcome the gods. Or anoshim refaim, or at least very strong warriors, can be lilachim and can fight with the gods of Natsum and overcome them. As is well known from Greek mythology and from the epics, and where Greek warriors take on gods and sometimes even vanquish them. So therefore it says here, Ischazku, strengthen yourselves, that you are not supposed to be Philistine men. In other words, Al tibemos, don't be animals. Asher lo yizgabro b'neilim liolam, which will never overcome gods, but you are not supposed to be men. Shame bekochanu shows some, because with the power of your manlyhood, yizgabro from, you can occasionally overcome Allah elim, the divinities, the kochanu yizgabro to lofty powers. Al derech, like it's similar to what happened said in this week's parasha, Yaakov was able to fight Malachim and overcome them. So the Plishtim were saying, okay, it's a god, but we're Philistines. We can overcome gods. Even if you, the Plishtim, don't win the war, nonetheless, his chazku be strong. So that you shouldn't worship, lest you will come to worship the Jews, like they worshipped you. In other words, tarbichu, you gain, that they won't win over you, to the point that you'll be servants for them. And goes on to say, even you can't do this, and these gods will win over you, nonetheless you should go down in history valiantly. Should be men. There's no capacity between somebody who lost in war, at least he was a man, fought like a man. Suppose somebody who gives into his enemy even and doesn't fight, that person is not a real man. The doymek of aim is like an animal, which will be led into captivity without any mind. With that which you fight, you will show that you are men, the low behemoths and not animals. So it's like, you know, they're telling them, at least if we can't win, at least let's go down like a Greek tragedy, you know, with like an epic, with honor, right? So what's still bothering me in the pasuk here is that it says you are not in Plishtim. The Maim explained what it means to be men and fight with the gods and how heroic that is and how they can make themselves an immortal name. But why to be Philistine men? What is Plishtim? What are they? What do they represent? So I copied your Reb Tzadok on this page. second page, which says Pasuk Perek Dalet on it. One side's Perek Dalet, one side's Perek Hey. And the third line down, the third line on the page, the Chaim Bermayim. This the Reb Tzadik explains what the Plishtim represents. And the Plishtim, we know that they went around and they closed the wells which Avraham Avinu dug. That was the first thing the Plishtim do in Tanakh. V'chein be'amayim, a well of water, harei amayim shamotzim, the water is there. Rak ha'idei ha'igia, it's just that by effort, the chafira of digging, umotzi ha'son, you find the water. Kach sotu ko yegia so adam nimso so mayon, the entire toil of an individual to find that spring, novea, which issues forth, shebelev, from a person's heart, mimakor ha'chaim is brachshma, from the source of life, may be blessed. Ulekach, and therefore, plishtim sitzmu, the plishtim closed that. Kenya plishtim, because what does plishtim mean? It's a contraction of the word peleshes yam. Peleshes yam meaning the expansion of the sea. Perush means she kroim kain. They were called peleshes yam al shem iskam because of their efforts lefalesh to explore uvakesh and to quest ba'amakim on that page ba'amakim in the depths. Like sailors who go down the sea or divers, to bring up the treasure troves that are in the sea. That too is a toil, to find something which is already there. Just that the plishtim focused on finding olam hazeh. Our forefathers did something similar. They uncover things which are already there, matters of olam habah, and the requirements of the soul. The law of tzarchei guf, not the requirements of the body. However, the plishtim use the same powers for this world, who stimas habeiros davos, which is tantamount to closing the beiros of the avos, which Yitzchak then had to come back again and open up. Vechemes plishtim, the war against the plishtim, hainu nitzuach is the overcoming of osokach, of that power, the agati matzasi olam hazeh, of toiling and finding olam hazeh. Raklachisa kedusha, only to use it for kedusha. And the Koman Tamincha, Chavtes Marav, from Psalm says, Plishtim are hefach mitzrayim, the opposite mitzrayim. The Chenoras or Shemos, so too is the symbol of the name Meitzar Yam, a limitation of the sea is Egypt, who pleasures Yam, an expansion of the sea, that's Plishtim. So basically, what Plishtim represent to us is first of all, they were seafaring people that had a lot of ports. That's what they were connected to, the Yam. They're called pleshes because they would expand and explore out at sea. And they were linked to Avraham Avinu and the Avos in the sense that they also had this connection to wells. What does it mean, a connection to wells? The purpose of somebody who explores and goes out and digs or dives is to find things which are already there, not create things. To find things which are already there. The Avos also, Am Yisrael, has Kedusha. Every Jew has like a spring inside of him or herself. The purpose of the individual is to dig down and find that spring. But the spring is already there. You don't create the spring. Everybody's connected to Hashem. The question is to what extent you can actually uncover, reveal, dig up the spring. So the Plishtim use that same power of expanding and exploring, but use it for matters of Olam Hazeh. They use it in order to find things, you know, as seafarers to go out and find treasures and explore and bring back from distant foreign lands. So they're very much involved in exploration and in toil and effort. They're obviously very diligent people, very highly developed culture, as a matter of fact, the Philistine culture. Yet, it was all based on Lamazan, and they were an extension of Egypt in this respect. Egypt, although Reb Tzadik says the names are different, the principle is the same. Egypt was a very, very advanced civilization. They also were very water-based. But they were not spiritual. Right, it was internal. Perhaps that's why it's Meitzayam. In other words, as opposed to the Plesheth Yam, the Plishim went out to sea. The Mitzrayim were very, very highly developed internally. They weren't so seafaring people, but then again, they didn't need it. They had the Nile. So the Mitzrayim very much involved in intense development of their culture and intense development of all areas of the arts and sciences at the time. And so the Plishim, highly developed nation. But they were both developed internally for Olam Hazeh purposes, and not externally for and not spiritually for Olam Haba purposes. And the Jews' purpose in both Mitzrayim and in Plishtim, and in dealing with the Plishtim, was to try and take the powers which these nations represent and use them for the right purpose. Now, whether they did or didn't is another question altogether. But when the Plishtim came here and said in Pasuk Tes again, Hizkazku, page 4, Hizkazku ve'yula noshim Plishtim, be strong and be Philistine men, pent abdullah ibrim, lest you worship the ibrim kasher of dulachem, like they worshipped you, ve'isim anoshim ilchamtem, and you should be like men. In other words, we are a proud, kind of almost like a Viking nation. We are seafarers. We are explorers. We're people who obviously are very, very highly developed. It's not proper for us to be subjugated to these Ivrim. The Ivrim are considered to be lower than us. The Ivrim are considered to be less, I guess, sophisticated than us. We can't be avodim to these Ivrim. Okay? That's what I believe is going on here.
A pep talk for them before
right, before the battle. That's right, it was a pep talk.
And it seems to me that their culture and their quest is diametrically totally opposed to what the Jews...
Right. So Jews traditionally never placed an emphasis on high development of culture and sophistication in matters of Olam Hazeh. Not because Jews intend to be highly sophisticated, not because they're incapable. If they put their mind to it, the Jews excel almost as much as Asians. But the point is that the Jews focused always on, are supposed to be focused on spiritual issues, not on mundane, secular, day-to-day accomplishments. So therefore, the Plishtim felt the antithesis between their culture and the Jewish culture, and they really didn't want to be subjugated to this Jewish culture, which is so foreign to them. So they did fortify themselves, they did strengthen themselves, and Pasgut, by Lachmu Plishtim, Plishtim fought by Nogif Yisrael, and the Jews were afflicted, by Nusa Yisrael Rav, and every Jew ran to his own tent, by Tia Makuk Dolomoz, there was a very great blow against the Jews, Vayipom Yisrael, that fell from Klai Yisrael on that day, or in that war, Shloshim Elif, at least 30,000 foot soldiers. They all were casualties. Varon Elokim Nilkach, and the Aron was taken, Ushnei Bnei Eli, and the two children of Eli Mesu, they died, Chofni Upinchos. It's interesting because it sounds like they died, not that they were killed. I have no explanation for that, but it doesn't say that they were killed. It says that Umesu. So it sounds like they were there on the battlefield with the arm, but they just dropped dead. They didn't actually die at the hands of the enemy. The Targum doesn't say that. The Targum says Iskatolu, which means that they were killed, but it's not much the way in the Pasuk. In any event, Vayoretz Ish Binyamin, one of the Binyaminites ran back from the battle, and he came to Shiloh on that same day, his uniform was ripped, and there was ground dirt on his head. Now, Chazal tells us that this individual, Shevet Ben Yamin, who went back and ran back, was no other than
Shaul
HaMelech, King Shaul. And the Chazal tells in Medrash that he grabbed, when they took the Aron, Shaul grabbed the Luchos from Goyas. In other words, he couldn't save the Aron, but he opened the Aron up or somehow, and he grabbed the Luchos and ran back with the Luchos. Now, the Radak doesn't like that. He said, listen, we found so many people who came and got killed when they came into contact with the Aron. And Shaul opened up the Aron and took out the Luchos. So he doesn't like that. But the truth is, there's not such a kasher because there are times when, you know, what? Eis lassos, right? Eis lassos, certain overriding factors will give an individual superhuman strength or superhuman tziata d'shmaya, and it's possible that this is one of the cases. And that's why his mesiras nefesh overrode what normally happens to somebody who grabs the luchos or normally happens to somebody who grabs onto the arm. Good question. Why is Chavni Pinchas repeated? It probably can be related to later in the parak when we're going to talk about Pinchas alone. And you'll see when we get there. I'll try and remember and explain that. Vayavo, he came. V'nei Eli Yoshev, like you say, Eli was sitting on his chair, Yach, which means next to or adjacent to, Derech HaMitzah, Derech Mitzah, Yach Derech next to the, I'm sorry, so Kriyuk Siv, sorry, Yad Derech, next to the highway, Mitzapeh, he was looking out. Because he was afraid Al Aron Elokim on the Aron. Now it's interesting, we're going to see this several times. He didn't care that much about his kids. He knew his kids were doomed. What he cared about more than anything else? The Aron. That was his primary focus. Okay? Va'ishma lagid boyer, and the person came to tell him the city, Va'tiza kolir, and the entire city started to shout and scream, and obviously they're very, very upset about this whole issue.
Were you reading from before? It wasn't from the Pesach.
Yeah. Yeah. What was I not reading about it? Did I skip something? Say yeah. You say Yad Derech next to the road.
Oh.
Mitzapeh.
Okay.
Etc. Mr. Zuger,
yes.
Take a shoot. So. The thing is that the way the Malbim draws it is that if the city was north-south, well, let's make the city was north-south, the Eli was sitting at the south entrance. Shoal came in the north entrance. The reason this is so is because it's obvious that you didn't go straight to Eli. And if Eli was sitting Yad Shar on the south entrance, then he would have first seen Eli as he came in. But it comes clear from the psukim that he went in another way altogether. And that's why Eli was one of the last to find out. Because Eli, if you came from the other side, Eli was sitting outside the city on the south side, so then there was no, Eli would find out last. So the entire city starts shouting.
Why do we assume that he was sitting, why wasn't he sitting near the Mishkan?
Because he waited to hear news as soon as possible. Right.
I don't. From this perspective, if we don't see what you see that it was sitting at the entrance of the city.
Well, it says Yad Derech Mitzapeh, so obviously he was sitting by the highway. So sitting by the highway, one side of the city, and the guy Shoal came in on the other side of the city. That's going to become clear as we go through the psukim. Vayishma Eli. As the call took, Eli heard all the noise. But Yomi said, "Mekol Amon Hazeh, what's this loud the crowd, the cry of the loud mob?" Because in the city behind him, they already found out. And the person came quickly. And he came, and this was his intent the whole time to come tell Eli. But as he came to Eli fast. Also, there's a problem here. The Pasuk says, "For Eli ben Tishim v'shmona shana, Eli was 98 years old. Feinav kama, his eyes stood. In other words, they were no longer working. For Eli, he couldn't see. So had he seen, he would have seen this man coming, and he wouldn't have been so taken by surprise. But all that meantime, all he did was he could hear something in the background, and he couldn't see this person running at him. And all of a sudden, this person is standing before him. But the person said to Eli, "Anochi ba min ha-marocha. I came today from the battlefield. Vani min ha-marocha nasti, and I myself fled from the battlefield. Ayom today." But Yomer, he said, What happened, my son? Vayana Mavaser, so the Mavaser came, the person bringing the tidings responded, Vayomer, and he said, Nasi Yisrael lifnei plishtim. The Jews fled today from before the Philistines. The Gam gave a gedolah lois, and there was a great plague against us. Ba'am in the nation. The Gam shnei bonecha meisun, your two sons died. Chofni u'pinchas. Va'ron elokim nukacha, and the Aron of God was taken into captivity. Look, the Malbim points out here that he told them gradually. Right, first he told him about the.
Build up a crescendo.
Build up a crescendo, yes. First he tells about the fleeing. The fleeing, then the plague, then the death, then the Aron. And he wanted to tell him in gradually, bring them gradually in order to in order to save him from sudden fright and sudden anguish, but it didn't work. Right? Shaul tried his best. However, by Ikas Kiros on Ron Elohim, when Shaul mentioned the Aron, by Pomiaki Seyachornis, he fell backwards off his chair. Ba'ad Yad Ashar, by the side of the gate, Batishaveh Mafrakto, and his spine broke. Almost, and he died. Kizaki no ish, because he was very old and very frail, and v'chavid, he was very heavy, and also that made him susceptible. V'shafat yisrael b'ayim shani, he was a shofet for 40 years. V'chal also, and his daughter-in-law, Eshet Pinchas, the daughter of Pinchas, Haralalas, was pregnant to give birth, and the fortune point out here, why Pinchas? Why is Pinchas singled out here? And they say that, well, I don't know, obviously the many answers one came, but they say that Pinchas was the less evil of the two. That's why Chofni is always mentioned for Pinchas, because he was the more evil. So here too, one could say that, that's why before it stressed that Chofni and Pinchas died in that order, to stress us, to loot us, that Chofni was the more guilty of the two. And Pinchas here, he does have some raving, saving remnant, some last vestige of the house of Pinchas. And in fact, the Kohuna Gadol is going to come from Pinchas' house, until the time of David HaMelech, Beis Eli lost the Kohen Gadol altogether. But in the meantime, she was pregnant, giving birth. The word lalat is strange; it should be laledes. However, there's no good reason why it says lalat. Some people say lalat is a lashon of yulala, of anguish, of crying. Some people say lolas means yeah, but it's missing a dalet. Missing a dalet. Lolas should be loletis, to give birth. The Raubach says lolas means complete. In any event, be that as it may, she was on the verge of giving birth. But she heard what they said. El hilaka haron came again. What concerns her most? The taking of the Aron. Umeis chamia, and then she heard what concerns her second? The death of Eli. Fisha, what concerns her the least? Her husband's death. Fatihra, she crouched batele and she started giving birth. Kinevlo letzira, because her anguish, or literally is her birth pains, turned her over. Again, there are several interpretations of what nevlo letzira mean. They're no great spectacular ones. The Malbim says it's not the pshat that she cared most about the Aron and only then her father-in-law and only then her son or her husband, but rather when she was told the rumor, she was told it by the person who told her in from the perspective of the bearer's sense of tragedy. In other words, the bearer of the tidings felt that the greatest tragedy was the taking of the Aron and so on in diminishing order. But she might have taken, in fact, personally as the greatest tragedy being that she lost her husband. Okay? So that's how that's how this pasuk goes. And Ukeismo saw at the time when she was dying, but the Darbenani Tzavos Olea, they spoke to the woman who was surrounding her. Al-Turi, and they said, do not worry, Ki Ben Yoladet, because he gave birth to a son. For Ansa, she didn't respond. For Shasali, but she didn't pay attention. In other words, she knew she was having a son. But what they meant to tell her is, don't die. Hold on. You have a son. And she didn't listen to. In other words, she knew she had a son, but it wasn't enough to get her to go the extra mile to stay alive. But she did stay long enough alive to designate a name for the child. Ikavod, Ikabad. Remember the headless horseman? That's it. That's where it comes from. Ikabad. Who wrote the headless horseman? Very good. Boy, you people are well educated. I'm impressed. Hitaka, why, is from upstate New York somewhere, right? It wasn't the Bronx, though, was it? No. Peekskill or somewhere like that. Yeah. Okay. What?
Close
enough. Leila, in order to say, Gola covered me so well that, that's why they call so many Jews Irving. Because they covered. Do you know, you didn't know that?
No.
when Jews first came to America, why did they pick the name Irving? There's no, not an American name, it's certainly not a Jewish name, but they all heard of this Washington Irving guy. So they figured Irving must, I'm serious, so they figured Irving must be a nice Goyisha name. So they all picked it because of Washington Irving. Really, that became a Jewish name as a result. Okay, Rati Kral, so here you see that Washington Irving took a Jewish name for his for Ichabod Crane, and Washington Irving himself, his name became a Jewish name. Mila Kanegan Mila. Anyway, Rati Kral and Ari Kovachi Tuchich called her son Lack of Honor, Lamo, in order to say, Gola Kovim, you saw the honor of Israel has been taken away. Elila Kach, Arona Elohim, because the honor has been taken, Diaz Chamiya, and her father-in-law, Bez Isha, Veisha, and her father. Okay? And her husband. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. Finally, the prayer concludes. Vatomer, she said, go to quote me, so don't look for the next page because you don't have it. I have it here. All right. I apologize for being disorganized tonight.
Didn't you say last week that Ellie was not afraid
of something? No, they didn't ask him.
That's also one of the
reasons why I'm concerned. Right. He would have said, I told you so, but he didn't live long enough to say it. Okay, let me read that pasuk again. Pasuk Beis. Atomer Gola Kovod Mitzvah. She said, as she was dying, the wife of Pinchas, the honor of girl, the Jews has been taken away. Ki Nil Kach, Arona Elokim, because the honor has been taken away. Now, Pasuk Pshat is that she was again only bemoaning the loss of the Aron. However, the Malbim wants to say no. She was really saying a professional hesped here, and a professional hesped, you say about the individual who died, the Talmud Chacham who died. Ha. As Gevan Takin Aron Elokim, you know, he was mamish like an Aron. He was so full of Torah and mitzvahs. So she was using a looking for a fancy, trying to make it a fancy word.
A eulogistic term.
Very good. She was using it as a device in order to be, connect the events and the great tragedies together. And this is how she was rousing people to feel bad. And that was it. She died. And Ikavod, however, so survived Ichabod, and he will figure again and say for Shmuel later on. Okay? All right. In the meantime, let's flash now to those Filipinos flashing back and forth here, like a movie. That was the end of the Israeli side. Let's flash now to Plishtim. Okay? Well, Plishtim, welcome to Arona Elokim. Oh, I want to mention one more thing about Perek Dal before we start Perek Hey, that there's an interesting thing here, that the last real shofet, Eli, because Shmuel is a transition figure, is his reign is ended by the first king, Shaul. Right? You see what happened here? Unwittingly, Shaul's the one who bore the message to Eli. And there's some sort of connection here, obviously, and I believe that it's because Binyamin, Shev Binyamin, but Shaul came, was people who also withstood, underwent the Sionis of Taiva. Just like Chafni and Pinchas. They muffed up big time by Pilegish Begiva, right? But Shaul was precisely chosen because people have potential for Taifa, potential for Tzidkus as well, and Shaul was a big tzaddik. And that we know it's linked to the fact that he was very tsunua, very humble, and very introspective, which a tzaddik is, you know, restrained, introspective, fearful of God. So Shaul, there's kind of a mida keneged mida here. Eli's house lost the kahuna because they were not restrained, they were unfettered. They were too much involved in taiva. Let Shaul come, who at the time was the most restrained in matters of taiva, and take over, not intentionally, but perhaps even inadvertently, by killing Eli, and thus bringing the doom upon his house when Eli and his daughter-in-law die. Okay, let's start Parakeh. Uplishtim Lachus Aron Elokim, turn over to the page which I gave you, the handout page. Uplishtim Lachus Aron Elokim, they took the Aron, Vavyum Ebenezer, and they brought for Ebenezer where they captured it, Ashdod to Ashdod. Vayichu plishtim es aron elokim. The plishtim took the aron. Vayaviu also beis dagon, and they brought it to the house of dagon. Vayatzigo so eitz of dagon, and they put it next to dagon. Now, a couple of very interesting things. We're going to see later on, it's clear that at least part of Dagon was a human figure. But Dagon, according to the most unfortunate, was an Avodah Zarah, which was a fish. Dag. Dag. And bear in mind, Ashdod is a port city, and the Plishtim were seafarers. So who would you expect them to worship? A fish, right? Now, here in the base Dagon, we'll come back to that in Pasuk Dalet, where it's more important. Here they put the fish god, Dagon, and the Oro next to each other. And it's Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish why this way. Rabbi Yochanan said they were giving kavod to the Oro. They were saying, oh, we'll put an extra god as a sign of honor. Right. According to Rabbi Reish Lakish, no, they were trying to make fun of it. They said, this is the victor and that's the vanquished. Let's put them next to each other so that relationship remains clear to everybody. Be that as it may, they put it there. Vashkimo Ashdodim. Right, that's exactly. It's Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Vashkim Ashdodim Achrasi got up early in the morning next morning. Vinei Dagon nofel ufanav, and Dagon fell flat on his face. Arzah to the ground. Lifnei Aron Hashem. Now before Aron Hashem. Now everybody points out this is a nace.
I'm trying to figure out how I can point this out to you.
You also want to say Vashkim Ashdodim, not Plishtim.
Oh, because we'll see later on that each city here has different ramifications in this verse. Look, try and visualize this. These are two gods standing side by side, my two fingers. The Aron was, in the morning, the Aron was still standing. We'll say it's the finger on the right. The Dagon, which is represented by the finger on the left, had fallen. But not fallen straight down. He had fallen, it was like this. So it was as if the Dagon was bowing down to God, to the Aron. So when it started like this, both of them facing out towards the audience, it ended up that the Dagon fell and turned around, so it was bowing down towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a big nace, right? Too bad they didn't pay attention to that. So it was just a coincidence. Okay, Vayichu is Dagon. They picked up Dagon by Yeshiva son and Kama. They put him back in his spot. Vayishkiva Boker Machras. The next day they got up again. Vinei Dagon fell from Avayitz. When they found Dagon fell again, falling on his face, leaving the Aron Hashem before God, before the Aron of God. The Rosh Dagon, but the head of Dagon, who stay kapos Yodav in his two hands. Again, I have to give you another sheet here. Suzuki, are you okay back there? Okay. Chrusos El Amifton. You don't need the... You have a nach, right? Chrusos El Amifton, they were cut off on the threshold. Rak Dagon Yishar Olav, only Dagon stood standing. So again, the same thing happened. Dagon fell, not straight down, but rather like this. But his hands and head were behind him, which is a double nace. Because out here was the threshold. And his hands and head were back on the threshold, facing the other way. The body was facing this way, and the hands and head were facing the other way out on the threshold, which is a double nace. Batikbad Yad Hashem, sorry, it's good to pause. Akein lo yijukhu konei Dagon, therefore the Kohane Dagon, called Boim, based on all those who come to the house of Dagon, will not step on Miftan Dagon, on the threshold of Dagon Baushdod, Adayom Azet to this very day. That's Pasuk Pesukim, very important, very fascinating. First of all, the Rabag says that they would not step on the Miftan, on the threshold, because the fact that Dagon came to rest there lent its sanctity. The Ma'avan says, no, that's not the pshat. But rather they thought, there's a third god in the room. Who? Dagon? Hashem? And who's the third god? Who would be the third god stronger than both the other two gods? The god of the threshold. He said, oh, we didn't have till now. There's a threshold god also. Varaya, where did the goat's hands and head light end up? On the threshold. So they made it this way. They came to a new deity then, the god of the threshold. And they said that it's not Hashem, because Hashem lost us in our war. It's not the Gaon, because the Gaon's the one who was broken. Rather, what must be a new god, the threshold god, which shows the amazing extent to which Ovdei Avodah Zarah, if you accept the Malbim, shows the amazing extent to which Ovdei Avodah Zarah are willing to stretch things in order not to come to any true conclusion.
They
just ignored it, basically. So in any event, now the Rathaki is a very important description of the anatomy of the fallen of the fallen of the idol. The Radak says, you got it, it's probably true. The Radak says, this Dagon was a mermaid. A merman, to be more exact. It was half man and half fish. The fish part stood standing. That's why it says, Rak Dagon Isharalof. That was the bottom part. What broke off? The head and the hands, which were a man's head and hands. Those broke off. So, I believe there's an important symbolism here. First, I'm going to show you a very interesting rhapsodic about the Aron, and then we'll get into the symbolism. Mr. Zuga, this you'll have to take. Pass it back to me, please. The Tzipiso Zoravtar. This is the story about the Aron, of course. You should cover it with pure gold. We buy some chutz to tzapenos and pashas truma. Perush Rashi says, "Shol shavonos lasa betaru." The Aron was really made up of three containers: the outer container of gold, a middle container of wood, atzi shitim, and a final innermost container of gold. Where does shitim appear in Tanakh? Where was the place of shitim? What? What tragic event in the Jewish history happened to Shittim? In the Chumash. Baal Por. Yeah, Baal Por. That's where they were Mizana with the Moabite girls, and they bowed down to Por. Right, they defecated to Por, whatever. The Avodah Zarah is cute, Avodah Zarah, Por. You know, they defecate to it and urinate to it. So that's what they did there. So if our aim may be, the rain brings down, it's the Mizrahi, Shetama Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezer, the Achash also Aron Zav, once they're made of gold anyway, Matzochleitz, why do you need wood? The Shah Kalim Akrashim Shushalates, everything else which is made of wood, Hayurak Mitsukin Zav, were only covered with gold. But the Aron had to be gold on the inside, gold on the outside, so why bother with wood altogether? Sharon Zav, Uchamandamar Ovio Tefan, according to one opinion, it was even a Tefach width, which is pretty wide as all, as is. Why need the wood? Achinian and the Pshad is the Isa Tez Bamizbeach. But the Shanasim Atashitim was made from Shitim wood, the Avo Atashitim, the Shitim wood of the Mizbeach, Shakam Yechapral, Al Shtufan, and forgive the stupidity of the Jews. Of the Gemara Maylash and Shitim, what does it mean? She is asking but if a Shtus involves some stupidity of our rice. Vayna Kumash Kozvayim says, Eno Dam Eva Aver, person does not transgress an Aver, LK Nicholas Baruch Shtus, unless he becomes a stupid head. Unless he becomes stupid, right? Shanaimah, as it says, to Kiti Steh. When it becomes a stupid, she's called a Shoita. Dina a taiva, because the fowl was to bema shtus. It's stupid. But tipshus, idiocy. Shudavar mos, it's repugnant to fowl taiva. Kamash kaza, like it says, Isha, a woman, is a chemes, is a container, malay tzoa of a dam full of excrement and blood. Man is too. But in other words, the whole concept of taiva is irrational. It's just a stupidity. And therefore, v'udavar nitav, it's only repugnant, the mezuav and polluted, v'achote, and the sinner, mitayv, that's what makes himself an abomination, v'shul ma'al milutav, also to fulfill his life, regechot, one moment, how long does it last, the whole pleasure, it's fleeting. Umafsi lo l'abai, loses the tuva l'abai, the great good of the world to come. V'enchtus, v'tipshus, God, he says, the greatest opinion of this, v'shiltin, kilklu, v'mai, support, and shitim, they ruin themselves with this poor issue. V'zeh, inyan aron, atzi shitim, so they aron, dafkati made of atzi shitim. Shemaram, he's negin, he's a rat, the taiva, which will lose the taiva. Shramu, which they said, shim is garav, tam l'chochem, yes, mikolam, taiva attacks the tam l'chochem more than everybody else. I bet, I know Nebuchadnezzar, several great Rabbanim, just myself, and I'm sure my knowledge is limited, who have succumbed to Taifa. You know, some Eish HaSish, some Mishkav Zohar. It happens. But even those who don't succumb, it's a danger. Chazal tells, "Kol Gadol Mi'et Chaver Yitzar Gadol Imenu." Ulavin Lama Mizgare. Why a great Amir Chomim have a greater Yetzara? Achink Farman already said the Yetzer. Hainu Cheshek is the desire. I'm not sure what this Rosh Tevis is. Moshe Neymar. It's like it says. The Yetzer Machshavos of Avamecha. The Yetzer is the thoughts of the heart of your people. Shashem Yitzbar Boras Adam. God created man. Be Yetzer with the Yetzer. Shemeshukavah. So there's embedded in him Inyan Chemda. The concept of desire. Rabbechir Nusinuran. A person has free will. Lachnis Hachemda Lekdusha. To use the desire for good. Or Rav Shalom. Or for bad. Uva Mabu Shokilku. By the Mabu where they ruin themselves. Ksiv it says. They had desire. They could have used a desire for Torah, but they used a desire and the love only for bad, and taiva for negative things. Okay, now he goes into the Amalek Esav dichotomy. I'm going to skip this for this evening, but he says if you look down about 10 lines or so. He says, "Mashenk and Klipat Yishmo," the fourth word in the line after a period. You see that? About 10 lines down from where we're up to now, maybe a little bit less, 6 or 7 lines. Mashenk, can everybody see that? It's above the parentheses where it says Chelik Av Kuslam Zayin Aleph Kuslam Ches Aleph. Okay. Mashenk Klipat Yishmo, as opposed to the evil of Yishmael. No. Where are you? On the Rhapsodic page. You didn't get that page?
No. Oh, here.
Yeah. Show them where it is. Doc, show them where it is. Mashen klipat yishmo sheyetzor de taiva, the yetzor of lust, yitzbezor goshlo is batel gam, it'll never be completely cancelled. Back to nikar love, it'll become white. Command the sache, like somebody who goes down to a mikveh, umat bim tevel misavuse from his tumor. The yitzor that says, yimol yetzor, if you wouldn't have yetzor, chedvos de shmeisel avi, one wouldn't have a lust for Torah either. Shezeh pachli shenibra yetzor, that's why the yetzor was created. The oscheshek to have a little drive and desire, the chamidu to arise for Torah. And that's what it says. If this disgusting taiva attacks you, use that, sublimate that same energy. Take the base of medrash. How to limshol zechem to take the desire. We have chamidu derives to be a desire for Torah. That's why if you're a great Taz scholar, so therefore you have much more chamidu derives. Right? You have leos chamidu mitzach shakubo chamidu derives because so much desire for Torah be right there. There's a quid pro quo which God made. Hakim is God, but so Gamachem. That's why he has a desire also tzadavik for the other things. Somebody who's not so doesn't have such a great love and bren for Torah. Gamachem is God, but he's not so driven when it comes to taiva as well. That's what alludes to the Aron of Atzishitim. The wood alludes to Torah, which is called the Tree of Life. So this wood can be Eitz Chaim, or it can be Atzishitim. It can be wood used for Torah, a drive for learning, for increasing one's Torah connection, or one's Torah knowledge, or it can be a drive for Taiva, for lust. Also called Datsim, Atzei Shitim, right? V'zem Rami Zator Shnikra Yitzchayim, V'shitim Rami Zahever alludes to the opposite. Beside the call of God and the Chaver Yitzchayim, because if you're great, you got a big Yitzchayim as well. By the Yitzchayim, the Torah views the Torah properly, Mizgabri, so you overcome the Yitzchayim of a Kovish in your Shitim, and you overcome, conquer the concept of Shitim, Shrom is the Zivar Shlus, which is the stupidity in Nizkar. Lost it, eventually it says, Ksivu Mayami Beis Hashem Yatzah, there'll be a rivulet, or a fountain from the house of God. Fishkas now Shitim and it will give water to the valley of Shitim. The Nachal Shitim Isa. The Nachal Shitim. This shows Nusaya. That was a place of prostitution. And this well caused the stupidity of Shittim. Lossit, however, in the future, Kshayislab and the Eitzor, and the Eitzor will become purified. The Taiva, the lust will be pure. The Yushar, Shiach, Moshe, Nivra, and will be, remain like was created with Yoschamidu Doraisa, a love for Torah. Then Nachal Shittim will be a fountain from the house of God. Rachnis Cheshach, a Torah, to bring the love of Torah, Belev Yisrael. Vashnei Arona shows up, and the two containers of gold, which encased the wooden container, roams in the Tamachacham. They allude to Tamachacham, Shetoycha B'kibaro. Tamachacham can't be a hypocrite. The inner, the inside of Tamachacham, has to be the same gold as the outside of Tamachacham. Otherwise, if the inside Tamachacham is the wood of Atzei Shittim, you're in big trouble. It happens. It's bad. Shaydei she asked but to kumash kosa b'tayra, kumash kosa gemara. Shaydei she asked but Torah v'leib sholem. The only way to achieve the purification of Torah is to learn with a true heart. B'socho internally kavar like externally. She wrote to yistabi kedushas yisbar to connect the God's kedusha. Aydei kain only through this yuchel yisgab al yitzu able to overcome the yitzar achnisa with kedusha and bring it to kedusha. Shakosh baruch hu ozer so that Hashem should help it. Hashem should help you. Okay, so what does the Aron allude to? Using your taivis l'shem shamayim. Right? Using your love, your desire, your burning desire for something for the right purpose, the drive for the right purpose. Okay. Now, try this on for size. Which animal represents taiva? Which living creature, I should say? No. More than that. A snake represents Lashon Hara. Which creature?
A bird?
No. Well, yeah, true. It's parrots. Pizza stick. It's parrots. It's very fruitful. Gave it away already. V'yidgu l'arov b'kerev ha'aretz. What's v'yidgu?
Fish.
We multiply like fish. Fish multiply them more than anything else. They're called, they're pritzei. Dogim are pritzei, Chazal say.
The fish was saved in the Mabul.
Ah,
right,
but the fish was saved in the Mabul. Why? Because they didn't, since they're created to be so fruitful, they didn't do anything wrong by being fruitful. So fish is the symbol both of taiva, because they multiply immensely, yet at the same time is a symbol of kedusha, because they were told to be like that. They didn't do anything wrong by being like that. And of course there's an allegory here, which is they're in water, and water is Torah, and one has to be a fish in Torah, one has to have this great drive and this great desire and multiply and be fruitful, but within Torah. Don't leave the Torah and do that.
The
Ayin Hara is not surely then fish, right? Because they're within Torah, they're immersed in Torah, their entire life is in Torah. You can be, have chemda, as long as it's in the service of Torah. Yeah, wait, don't steal my show here. So now, when Dagon fell, the bottom part of Dagon is not a problem for the Aron. The bottom part of Dagon is the fish. Fish is okay. You can use taiva for the right purpose, but not when the bottom part is taiva and the top part is man. No, they were saying, we want to use this taiva for Olam Hazeh. That's what I mentioned from Tzadok before. The Plishtim had great, they were highly sophisticated. Highly developed culture. Very intelligent people. Seafarers. Cream of the ancient world. But they used all of that great talent, that great drive for exploration, for expansion, for travel, not l'shem shamayim, for the sake of development of man. Used a fish, that drive, that lust, for man's own aggrandizement and purpose. So that can't coexist with the Oron. The Oron represents using, harnessing the power of Chemda, the great, you know, like Freud said, sexuality is such a great drive in mankind. Yes, using it for the service of Torah, for mitzvahs, for Avodas Hashem, for Chamidu D'Oraisa. The Oron knocked off, it lopped off the top part of Dagon and left the bottom part of the Dagon intact to signify that part, the fish part, can be used properly as long as it's used sublimated. The man part was found on the threshold. It says, I forgot to look it up before the shiur, but Chazal say a person should always make himself kaskoipani dresses. A person should make himself like a threshold which is stepped upon, humble. In other words, you can't involve yourself in the aggrandizement of man. That's not what the world is for. The man should be humble. If you look for your own aggrandizement, you can be led astray in all sorts of different purposes. A person, the man part, should be on the threshold, down below, humble. I think I told you once, there's a synagogue, quote-unquote, temple, in Detroit, the Birmingham Temple, run by an Oicher Yisrael, Sherwin Wine. It's a humanistic temple. I've never been there, obviously, but they say that over the Aron Kodesh, they have the word Adam, you know, emblazoned on the wall. So it's like Dagon, you know, that's what the Aron couldn't be Soivel. The whole Adam standing there over it, next to it. But they are reenacting, you know, the way it was in Ashdod many years ago. It's an ancient tradition in the Semitic world.
Like a country club.
So in any event, that's Pasuk Vav now. Vatichbad Yad Hashem al Ashdodim. The hand of God was heavy against not just the temple in Ashdod, but against the Ashdodim themselves. The Shemaim, God made them desolate. He attacked them. Vayachosam, he attacked them. Batachorim. Tchorim seems are hemorrhoids. But here, the ksiv here is afolim. And afolim, according to Chazal, is a type of rodent. Most of the Mefarshim say literally a mouse, which came out of the ground and got into their intestines and started eating them up. So the Pashup shot here is it's a kind of hemorrhoid. The Medrash says that it was like a mouse which got in there and started consuming their insides. And why a mouse? Come, maybe we'll get there tonight, maybe not. Now you know what, let's get to tonight. Here on the bottom of my handout sheet where I wrote it myself in the Hebrew section. There's a Medrash, Niyakut Shimoni. These Rishayim said, Hey Melokim, these are the gods, Hamakim and Mitzrayim, that's what he said in the previous Perek Dalet. And they said, the Plishim said, Asara Makos Hayulo. God had 10 plates, that was his gas tank. Rishomu, that's it, he's out of gas now, he can't do anything to us. Amal Akushbo said, Ein Limako. I have no plague with which to afflict you. Atani maybe alechem makla. Now bring upon you makla shalom yosem olam which never was before. Elu achborim. These are these mice. So you shown to be a man which would eat out their intestines. Chazu asosam svarim. So the Egyptians went around. The Plishtim went around with cups on their rectums, you know, to prevent the mice from getting in, right? Like as protection, right? So the mouse would say to the cup, we are messengers of God. You are created by God. Take kavod l'misha bara, give honor to those who created us. And the cup would break. And the achbar would come out of the depths. The shomis bneiav and attack the inners of these individuals. Cool plague, huh? Some place where God allowed a softer creature to overcome a harder creature. So why mice? Of all things. It's an interesting Gemara in Horios. The Gemara says here, I quoted it. If you eat from something which a mouse consumed from, it causes you to forget. when somebody eats the mouse itself, al atma alachas kama kama, certainly so. Shol tamidim sabi lezer. So tamidim asked sabi lezer, mivnei ma'akom ha'shemoshim ba'akbar, why does everybody make fun of mice? This is before Mickey Mouse. Why does everybody make fun of mice? Why do they all, you know, come down hard on the mice? Try and kill them, to make fun of them. So this is what Rabbi Lezer answered, mivnei shesur and ra, because they're bad. They have a tremendous yetzer hara, Rashi says. Bad nature. What's their bad nature? Ma'i. Ravam ha'afilu glimi, God said, even eat clothes. Even though there's no taste.
They chew on everything.
Ravam ha'afilu shufta mara, God said, even dry sticks. So what do you see about achbarim? The big bali taiva. And I think that the symbolism here to the plishtim was that again, the plishtim were very big. Bali Taiva. They used it for certain channels which were productive, like seafaring and traveling and exploration, and they used it for other channels, such as plain Taiva. We know they're big Bali Taiva from what they did with Shimshon, right? They had a whole big party with Shimshon, brought all their wives to Shimshon to all get pregnant from him.
So,
Amida Kenegan Mida, they took the biggest Bali Taiva, that's what the Gemara says, I'm not making it up, the biggest Bali Taiva among all the animal kingdom. Obviously, they couldn't take fish, too, you know. But among the animals, the biggest bali taiva, the mice, and use them to attack the plishtim, because they are. Okay, so in the meantime, Vayach Osam Batchorim es Ashdod ves Gulei Ashdod and all of its environs. Vayuran she Ashdod and the people of Ashdod saw Kichen, this is happening. For them they said, oh boy. L'yeshev Arona Elokei Solimonu. The Aron of God should not be with us. Here they recognize Taka, Hashem is doing this. Ki Koshto Yodo Aleinu, because his hand is very strong against us. V'aldogon Elokei Eloheinu and Andogon our God. So the Rabbah says, very interesting thing, the Rabbah says that it seems to him that Shmuel was the one who directed this plague. And I would assume that that's how the Ashdodites knew that this came from God, because they saw somehow some link between Shmuel and the plague which was occurring. And why it's interesting, because if I'm correct, I don't know if I'm right about this, but I'm throwing this out as a hypothesis. This is the first salvation which the Jews underwent since they entered Eretz Yisrael, which was wrought solely by miracles. Now, with many times in the past, we had wars in which miraculous things occurred, such as by Dvorah or by Gidom. But here, there's no war. Shmuel is directing the forces, the divine forces, in an attack against the Plishtim without any Jewish soldier getting involved. I think perhaps this has to do with Shmuel's new hanhaga. And until Shmuel, there wasn't much nevuah, and miracles also were kind of, you know, when there isn't nevuah, when there isn't blatant Yad Hashem, it also, there's not blatant Yad Hashem miracles. Miracles are limited, are not so apparent, right? But here, where Shmuel gets involved, and there's more nevuah and more Yad Hashem, and everything is going to be now with a special anhaga. So then also this miracle, first salvation completed by miracle, we'll see that the plishtim, no Jew ever came down, or they sent the Aron back on their own in this. Okay? Let's do just a couple more. Psukim. Vayishluchu. So the people of Ashdod sent, Vayashluchu kol sarei plishtim, they sent for all the noblemen of the plishtim, Aleim, to come to them. Vayomer, they said to the noblemen, Ma na'aseh la'aron elokei Yisrael. What are we going to do to the Yisrael? Vayomer, so the sarei plishtim, they didn't want to admit that this was God here. So they said, Gas yourself. Let's take it far away, to Gas. Mama says, why to Gas? A, because it's far away, and maybe this plague is natural. So it won't jump all the way over there. And besides that, he had another reason, the Malvim, I forget what it is. let me find this here. Yeah, that's off, but there's another thing. That's a Pashup shot reason. Come to get me in a minute. Where's this page? What did he say, Mr. Zuger? What did he say?
The commentary here for the Alshik says, maybe he doesn't like Dagon.
Oh, right, maybe he doesn't like Dagon. Right, okay, good point. In other words, there's no, Dagon is not, not the god over there, or I guess those different cities have different patron gods, and therefore we'll send them there, and maybe over there everything will be okay. Alright. By Shlachus Aron, They sent it over there. So once they sent it over there, however, it got worse. In God, there was even greater confusion and plague. There are a couple of new things here. First of all, it's all the people in the city, not isolated cases. From the youngest to the oldest. And besides that, yet another thing, Vayistulem Achorim, that here it got, Seser, Yistul means in secret. In other words, it got deeper into the body. In other words, it wasn't just superficial anymore, but they got really, really deep in the mice. So it got worse. Now, the Gatites, forget it, they're not going to consult the elders, they just want to get rid of the Aron. Vayishalchus Aron Elohim Ekron, they sent it further away. Ekron. Vayikav Aron Elohim Ekron, when the Aron got to Ekron, who boy? Vayizaku Ekroni, Lemor, the Ekroni let out a mighty shout to say immediately, Hey Sabu Elias Aron Elohim Oive, they brought me the Aron, I'm saying to put me to death, Vesami and my nation. It's on the back of the page with Reb Sardik's continuation. Vayishalchu. So immediately the people from Ekron, now this is a new thing also, because till now they weren't dying. At least it doesn't say they weren't dying. In Gash or Nagat, they were suffering in successively worse stages, but they weren't dying. In Ekron, people started dying. Got worse. Until the Plishtim finally got the message. So Vayishalchu Vayisasfu Kol Asaradei Plishtim. Now they got together again, all the officials of the Plishtim. Vayom, and they said, Shalchu Es Aron Elokei Yisrael, send it back. Vayoshalim Koma, let it go back to its place. Vayami Sosi should be put me to death, Vesami and my nation. Some Umas Mavis, I'm not sure who said this, but even the Ekronites said this, because there was not just confusion of death, but Cholah, the entire city, called them all, Yad Elokim Sham, the hand of God, the Midas Sadin was very strong there. Even the people who didn't die, Huku Batcholim, they were smitten by the mice and the hemorrhoids, Batavo Shavasir Shemaim, and the voice of anguish of the cries of the city went so high up all the way to the heavens, and we managed to finish Baruch Perakim.